Thank you for taking part in this very important research. My name is Ashlyn Larson. I'm a CI student. As a class project, I and my classmates are collecting the oral histories of those in Ventura County who are affected by the current economic recession. By signing the consent form that I have provided you with earlier, you have agreed to participate in this research and or you have agreed the audio recording of this interview to be archived at the CI Broome Library. I would like to assure you that whenever you feel uncomfortable with the interview, you can take a break, or you can decide to withdraw your participation in this interview. Okay, so tell me about yourself.
All right, well, do you want to start from when I was born?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was born in Thousand Oaks, California, at Los Robles Hospital in December of 1970. And I grew up in Thousand Oaks. And then I went away to college at Cal State Fullerton and came back and went to college at Cal Lutheran University. And I've been teaching since 1992 for junior high math and science.
And tell me about your family.
My family lives here in Thousand Oaks in Simi Valley. And I have three kids and they're teenagers. And my mom lives in town and my sister lives in Colorado and my brother lives in Agoura.
And have they been supportive throughout this whole economic recession?
Yes, they have. They've been very, very helpful in anything that I need for, you know, rides with the kids or, you know, stepping in and helping out with payments and stuff. They've been very, very much there for me. Yes.
Growing up, what was life like for you?
Way more simple than it is now. It was more like home all the time, dinner at 6 every night, you know, homework done before we could go out and play. And weekends, we hardly ever went anywhere. We were always home playing with just the neighborhood kids.
Do you remember any sort of economic hardship during your childhood?
I remember that friends, like, could go do things and went on trips that we didn't get to go on. And I remember that if we got to go out for dinner, it was the night my dad got paid. So it would be, like, one time a month we have to go to, like, Loopy's or something. That was, we always knew it was payday because we would go to dinner, out to dinner. But most of the time we were at home. So I didn't realize it when I was growing up that it was hard economically. I get to see, like, what my other friends were doing that we weren't doing, you know. And that's how, but I didn't realize it was that we didn't have any money. It didn't seem any different. I just thought that that's what we didn't do as a family, so.
Was education as expensive as it is now?
No. Well, I went to a private school that my parents sent us to, and so that's why we weren't able to do a lot, because they thought education was more important to spend the money on. And but it was way, if I look back, you know, knowing what the cost of it was way cheaper than it is now.
What about college?
Oh, by far way cheaper, yes.
When did your hardship begin?
Back in 2008 was when I found out about money not being available anymore for our family. And so, it was back in, I believe it was September of 2008. But it had been happening for a while, about probably a year and a half before then, but I didn't know about it.
Can you describe your hardship?
Yes. My ex-husband worked for a financial institution and was making good money. And then the recession hit and he stopped making money and he wasn't able to let us know for whatever reasons that he wasn't making money. So he tried to show that he was providing for us by borrowing money from hard money lenders and friends. And finally, after a while, it caught up to him and it kind of all came crashing down that we didn't have any money in any of our accounts and no 401k, no retirement funds, no college funds anymore that had been used up. And then we owed a bunch of people a bunch of money. And that's kind of where it all started. And I've been cleaning the mess up since.
And that's what caused the divorce?
I would say, yeah, that. Well, when I first found out about it, I was like, we can work through this. It's just a financial thing. You know, it's not a big deal. And we could totally work through all of that. And so we sat down. We did a kind of a life plan and a budget, but not knowing that he didn't stop doing the borrowing. So it was one of those things that if he had stopped when he got caught, I would have worked through it absolutely and forgiven him and done all that. But what happened was that he decided to keep doing what he was doing and not stop it. So then the trust was completely broken, because if he would have stopped, we probably would have been able to get through counseling and through it. But since he decided not to, pretty much caused it. But it could have been stopped if he would have just stepped up and, you know, worked on it, which he didn't.
And you moved to Colorado because of that?
Found out our house was going to be foreclosed on. And so my sister said to come out to Colorado, and she was going to house us for free for a year or two. It didn't matter to her how long we were there for. So we decided to take her up on that. And fortunately, I found a renter who came in and was able to rent the house for the cost of what the mortgage was at the time. And so by me living for free, I was able to do back payments and be able to get us current again.
And was Colorado better than California in any ways?
You know what? If the kids were younger, not teenagers, if they were in their early elementary years, I probably would have stayed in Colorado, even if I could have gotten back, because it's just more slow paced. It's more like the way I grew up, and more you have to work, but you have to work so hard to make things work back there. It's very family oriented, very stay at home, you know, do things as a family. Whereas out here, it's always rush, 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 work, 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 just to be able to afford your house. Out there, it's more like work hard and then, you know, enjoy your family on the weekends and that. So that's what I saw a big difference in the pace of life. That's why a lot of families are moving out that way.
What were you expecting from the move?
I was hoping that my ex-husband would come with me and we'd be able to start a new life. So we'd come, we'd work things out, get rid of all the baggage that we left in California, and be able to maybe start and at least repair what had gotten damaged. But he decided not to come. And so that was hard to work on that. And so halfway through the time I was there, he said that he wasn't going to be working with me on any of the marriage and didn't want to do that. But also I went as well for a peace of mind, just to kind of clear my head and kind of take an easy job that didn't require a lot of thinking on my part. Like, it was a really down step for me, so that I could be able to sit back and kind of just do a life plan for myself. So that was a really good year of just rebuilding, you know, in my mind. And then when I moved back to start building again, you know, so.
From that experience, what was the most surprising aspect of it?
From moving to Colorado?
Yeah.
I think the growth for me, I kind of grew up, you know, because before it was more like a marriage and he took care of the finances, I took care of the kids, and I didn't really have a hand in any of the finances and really any of the day-to-day, you know, things that support, you know, living in a house and living, you know, whereas I went out there and I had to do it all, you know, raise the kids and do all the finances. And I really feel empowered now that I totally know where all my money is being spent, where it all goes, and how I spend it. It's all based on me. And so what, for me, the most surprising thing was the awakening of how women and men in a relationship have to know and be communicative to each other about what's going on. Because if one person does it all, even though the other person trusts them, if they get in a stressful situation, the other person has to be there and come alongside them to help them out without them having to verbally say it. They would know if they're both involved. So I'm a lot more aware of that. And if I ever get into another relationship, to be so aware of, you know, that part of it, because it ruins so many marriages if both people aren't involved.
What was most painful?
The loss of the family, the loss of the community. I think the hardest thing was we had such a great community of friends and family that we did stuff with all the time. And I think the hardest part for me was just that loss of the unit, you know, and looking back and seeing the decisions that my ex-husband made. I'm glad now that if he kept making those, I'm glad that I got out when I did. But the most painful part for me is having to rebuild that unit again, because you have all those years of history, and now that unit's not intact anymore. You don't have those memories with somebody new. And so I think the hardest part for me was just, you know, seeing the kids' reaction to all that and just trying to, you know, navigate through that. So that was probably the saddest part, was just the whole idea of, you know, the marriage unit and the family being exploded, mm-hmm. you know. So.
How has your life changed moving forward from the hardship?
Oh, I feel like I'm back to the person I was, you know, 15 years ago. You know, you don't really see a slow decline when things are getting bad until, you start to rebuild and start to move forward. And I look back at the last couple years of even before I found out about the finance stuff and how life was, and we were really not on track with the way you should be living life. And even though we had the money and we had all the things to go do, it wasn't simple, you know. And I think moving forward and seeing the life now is the way it's supposed to be, and really trying to remember going forward, you know, to stay on that simple track and still enjoy life and enjoy money and enjoy finances, but not to make that be the only thing that you're focused on, you know. But yeah, so I think that for me, just being empowered and knowing and knowledge, I tell you, knowledge is such a huge, huge thing to make you feel so confident. And so now knowing all the financial things is awesome. So
now that you're a single mom paying for everything, have you had any food insecurities?
You know, no. The only reason why for that is because I will work 3 or 4 jobs if I have to provide for my kids, and I've done what I can. If things didn't step in where they were needed, I have the support of family and a massive amount of friends to like step in that would never allow us to go hungry. So if I didn't have that community, I think that would be a little bit more scary. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't have that network of friends. And so I never had a scaredness because I knew that I had, you know, 10 families that would take us in the next day if we needed to. So not really. I mean, there was times when I had a like really super budget and look and watch what we were buying. And that was kind of a fun thing because you felt really like, even though it was hard work to do, it was kind of like you felt in the sense of accomplishment that you really had to like sit and coupon clip and look and find out where all the deals were. So there is even if you have money, there's a positiveness to doing that as well, even if you have the money, because it makes you feel like you're really working for, you know, the bargains. Mm-hmm. So
what about any housing problems?
Except for moving in with my sister, that was difficult, you know, to move in with another family and have other adults kind of telling you how to run, you know, the way you live. That was an adjustment. I mean, we worked it out, and thank goodness didn't get any huge fights about it at all. But housing, never afraid. Again, same kind of thing. Never afraid of losing any housing because we were able to move in with, you know, any family or friends that we needed to. So.
I know you went to school to become a teacher. Is it hard being a teacher now since there's such high competition, layoffs?
You know what? I think if I didn't have the network of people I know growing up in the area, like if I had to go get a teaching job somewhere different, I think it would be a lot more difficult. Coming back to the same area that I grew up helped me because I knew people. When I was in Colorado, strange coincidence, I ended up working with somebody that knew friends of my community out in Colorado, which was very bizarre. But all the other places I went to interview, it was a big competition to be able to get those jobs. I mean, there was like, you know, I don't know, 75 applicants for 2 jobs at a school. And so you're really competitive. And if you don't have the experience, or my girlfriend's going through a separation and divorce, she hasn't worked in 30 years and doesn't have a college degree. And she is scared out of her mind to lose her house because she has no way to step into a career. Whereas having a college degree, having something to fall back on. And I always tell my girls, don't ever stop working. Even if you have children, work 10 hours a week, stay in your career, because then you'll still have the network of people that when you want to jump back in full time, then you go back in and you have that network to hire you back. But if you take 20 years off and then all of a sudden a tragedy occurs, unless you stay connected with the community, it's going to be very difficult to get a job. So
have you ever had or any like worries about being laid off or threats?
Every year, the school that I work at, if we don't have enough students, I don't have a job. And so that's very scary for me because if that goes by, I would just jump into a 40-hour work week, you know, and I know I could go find something that I could go do because I have a degree. Again, no degree, not a lot of jobs. I mean, there's jobs out there, but it's not going to support a family of 3. And so the college degree, like every parent tells every kid, get a college degree so you can always have something to rely back on. And it's absolutely true when recessions hit because people are going to hire you maybe for less than what you're worth, but at least you're going to get hired before the kid who doesn't have the college degree. And so, there is a worry for me all the time because my school, if it doesn't fill up with students, there's no job for me the following year. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So the recession has been hard on almost everyone. Mm-hmm. What was your method of coping with it?
Prayer. I said, I'll tell you, you know, just lots and lots and lots of prayer. And that was another thing going back to the Colorado experience was, you know, the simplicity of life was we were able to really focus in on our faith. And that, mm-hmm. And I will tell you, there was a sense of just being carried the whole time and being watched out for, because everything that was needed was always provided, not in excess, but in just the right amounts. And I could write a book. There's probably 25 major incidences that happened that were just at the right time. You know, the renter came at just the right time. I had a storage unit that opened up for 3/4 the price to store all of my house in when I moved to Colorado. You know, the job landed in my lap because of a series of events. So that has been my main source of focus. And then having my kids just make decisions to be on the right track. They didn't decide to go party and do all that. They decided to say, hey, we're going to build this as a unit. And a lot of communication came. Mm-hmm. And I think we became a lot stronger as a family unit, because I grew up in a family that didn't communicate very well. They held all the bad stuff from us. And so we were always wondering what's going on with mom and dad. Whereas I went the opposite way and said, okay, I'm going to, at their age level, going to talk to them and say, here's what's going on, and here's what we have to do as a family to make this work. And fortunately, you know, for the most part, you know, there's been ups and downs definitely throughout, but for the most part, I feel like we're on a really good upswing now.
Mm-hmm. And what was most helpful?
Helpful for, during it?
During, like, yeah, getting through it. Like,
again, the people. Like, I had a lawyer in place. I had a bankruptcy attorney in place. I had a financial guy in place. So they all like stepped in and kind of mentored me through it. And I think that if you're all alone and you don't have those people, sometimes you'll go crazy spinning, you know, in your brain. Because when I needed something, I at least had somebody to turn to direct me to a person. And so I think that for me, the biggest thing was the helpfulness of the right people in the right careers to be able to trust them that they're looking out for the best for me.
And getting back, like going uphill, getting out of like your recession, has have you received any type of government assistance?
I think so. I think my modification for my home is a government assistance program. I put paperwork in back in May, and I got a decision back in March. They had modified my loan, but there's only 3 qualifying events. You have to either be divorced, disability, or death in the family. And so through the divorce, I was able to get the modification of my house, so that it brought my payments way down so that I can afford other things for the kids. And so that government assistance. And then my son going to college, there should be some government assistance with that as well.
And are you relying all on like federal aid to pay for college?
Hopefully not. Well, I don't have a lot to contribute. I mean, just, you know, but most of it, yes. If he was going to junior college, not so much, but for state college, or, you know, for a university, absolutely. We need as much as we can get. So, yeah.
Did you ever blame yourself for your hardship when you're going through it?
I look back and I think that I expected a lot out of the financial level, because I'm just, in my mind, I'm that way. If we want something, you go work for it. You don't just sit back and borrow it. And so, I blame myself in the sense of demanding too much of my ex-husband, that he didn't verbally tell me he couldn't provide for. I always expected to go on trips. I expected to have money for dance and for water polo and for, you know, volleyball. I had expected us to have the lifestyle that we had. And I think that expectation, I learned from that, in the sense of, you know, there needs to be more communication about what is really there, and balancing and budgeting out instead of just expecting it to be there.
Do you think other people in America are going through a similar hardship as you?
Oh, yeah. No, I know people who are actually going through all, similar stuff, yeah.
Have your views on society or America changed through this?
Yeah, I just think that we put too much emphasis on things and money. And I think that if we would just slow down in our lives and go back to the simpler ways of life, there'd be more communication like there was back in, you know, 20, 40 years ago about, you know, what's able to be spent, what's able to be done. And I think that that's the decline generally in America is there's, you know, the you're so busy, you don't have time to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so you get in this busy rat race and you're trying just to provide, and there's no communication about it. And the families that are surviving and thriving now are the ones who sat down and actually went through the recession with a lot of communication between their husband and wife, you know, through that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have faith that America will soon reach prosperity again?
No, I don't know about that. that's a heavy question. It all depends on the leadership. I tell you, if leadership does it the right way, we can. If the leadership doesn't, we're going to be in the toilet, which we're slowly declining there.
What about the American dream?
You know, I think it's still there because I still have people that I know that, you know, they work hard and I look at myself and I say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to settle for one job. I'm going to go out and get another job and then, you know, have other assistance ways of working to get that. So I think that the American dream absolutely gives us the opportunity to be, making the money that we want to make, but you can't, I think a lot of people in America sit back and expect the government just to give them money. And that's where I have a problem with that, is that we need to really look into that system and saying, okay, we don't mind helping you out in the hard times because it needs to be there for the people who are really working hard. But to give people more money what do you call it when you get laid off? What is that called? On unemployment. Uh-huh. Than they could make if they went and got an $8 an hour job. There's something wrong with that. Because I had a girl that, you know, got laid off. She was going to make more money than if she went over to Target and worked for $8 an hour. Yeah. And she's getting this check in the mail. She said, I'm just going to ride this out as long as I can. That's not okay. You know, so you need to be working. Yeah, you need to go work. And she goes, well, I'll make less money. That's where we have a decline. There is definitely a place for that. But I think that that people need to work. Mm-hmm. You know, but the American dream is definitely still there for the people who really want to work hard and make it. So.
With America being in such a recession, do you have hope for your children's futures to be successful?
Yes, I do. I think with our situation, if anything good's going to come out of it, it's the model that they saw happen. You know, they saw us hit rock bottom. They saw with hard work and dedication, lots of communication, things can get better. And I think that if it would have gone a different way, if I would have stuck my head in the sand and not worked hard and not had the opportunities that I had or jumped on them. And, you know, I'm never home. I said, that's why I feel sad about my kids. I'm just not home. I have to work so much. But they see that hard work will pay off in the long run. Mm-hmm. And I think that them seeing that model encourages them to, you know, to if they hit hard times, to communicate and to work hard. So,
would you want the government or anyone else to know about you and your experience that you've gone through?
I always said I'd write a book about it because it just seems like it's crazy that the way it is. And I just watch it. So many people go through and make different choices. A lot of people through divorce will just curl up and oh me, oh poor me. And then all of a sudden they're wondering why they're not able to feed their kids, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think, I'd love to tell my story because it encourages other people. They sometimes don't want to hear the harsh reality of you just got to buckle up and do it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear that. They just want to be helped all the time. And I think that there has to be a strong balance between help and them working. You know, I mean, there needs to be that help to get them on their feet. But then once they're on their feet, they need to get the wings to fly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
What life lessons have you learned from this experience?
Life lessons. Communication is such an important, you know, there's so much benefit in talking things through and talking things out and not hiding things. I mean, I think that for that, me, the life lesson is I'm almost overly communicative to people. And sometimes it gets me in trouble because I tell my story too much and I wonder if it affects the kids, like too many people know. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is a definite lack of that. And I think that, and that's because of how hard we work and there's no time, you know, or people, when they do have time, do other things, you know, they don't want to talk about finances because it sucks. Mm-hmm. And so I think life skill lessons is, to be open and honest and to be talking through as hard as it is to talk through things like that. Yeah. Yep.
If you could do anything over that mm-hmm. would like change your experience, would you do anything or what would that
Yeah, be? Well, not since it happened. I think that the steps that we made, I think moving to Colorado was, looking back, was very difficult, but very necessary. And it got mm-hmm. us on the right track. I think looking back to the marriage, I would have, again, been more proactive in knowing exactly where things were. Because I think, yeah, again, like I think if one person knows, it's so easy for them to hide it if things aren't happening. Yeah. Easy for them to spend it if things aren't, you know, if somebody's not investigating it. So I really think that if I look back, I would have been more involved in the finances and not so trusting, which mm-hmm. just stinks because you should be trusting in a marriage. But I think that there needs to be a open communication. And I have friends now that are telling me, I don't know where our finances go. When I ask my husband about it, they get pissed. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's nothing to hide, they should not be pissed. you need to start investigating. So I think that that needs to be a definite conversation, you know, weekly, every week, about where the money's going and how the money's coming in. Everybody has their own, has same passwords to be able to access all the accounts. So yeah, for sure.
Do you have anything else you would like to add?
No, but if you think of it, I'll record me again. That's perfect. Okay. Is that good?
I think that's it then.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.